you guys for coming up. Quite a drive. We've got kids down in their area, and so it's a good little jaunt to come up here, like 3 hours or so, depending on, my daughter can probably do it in 2.5, but she doesn't let any grass grow under her feet, I'll tell you. Oh, good morning. So, pray that you're all blessed, ready to hear the word. Got your hearts open, ready to receive what God might show you today. I know I am. I'm looking forward to hearing what God's got to say this morning. So turn with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 8. We'll start with verse 26. You know, I often look, as I meet people out in the world and talk with them, see, do business with them, whatever the case might be. And I always think, do they really know Jesus? And especially in the church, where there's a lot of people that go, good people. And sometimes we might leave the impression that maybe we're lacking in some areas. And so I'm concerned, you know, about people. A lot of people are thinking they're going to heaven because I'm a member of the church, or I go to church and I'm a good person and I don't hurt anybody. See, that was my biggest thing. You know, when this kid asked me if I was going to heaven or hell, I was thinking, I haven't robbed any banks. I haven't killed anybody. You know, I'm a pretty good person. Don't ask my wife, but what I thought, I was pretty good. You know, I might go to purgatory and burn for a couple thousand years, because that's what we were taught in that religion. And so I never thought much about it. But I was so lost. And I thought I was okay. And it took the Lord really to really touch my heart so I could understand that, hey, I need to look into this. I need to see, am I truly saved? Am I okay? And a lot of people don't even go there because, anybody here plan on dying soon? You know what I mean? Sometimes we don't think of stuff. Plus, it's kind of morbid when you're thinking, you know, of that. So we tend to put that away and we just continue on as we've always done. So I think it's really important to check that out, just to make sure. I think it's more important than a will or anything else. So anyway, if you would, you can read with me in Acts, starting at verse 26. This is about a eunuch and how the Lord met and dealt with him. It says, "Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, Arise, go toward the south along the road which goes from Jerusalem to Gaza." And it's a desert area there. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship. So this is a man who was seeking. He was seeking, doing what a lot of people do. So in verse 28, so he was returning and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, Do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he answered, and he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he was reading was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth, that he also came down to the saints who dwell in Lydia. Did I miss a verse? Oh, my pages are so thin. So the verse 34. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does a prophet say this, of himself or of some other man? And Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? So he hears the word, and it's explained to him so he can understand. And he has a heart for God because he went all the way from Ethiopia to Jerusalem just to worship. And you know, their travels then were somewhat dangerous at times. But it's also with carriages and horses, and not travel like we do. You know, we can jump in our car and we can drive 3 hours without much issue. But them, sometimes it might take a day or two. But he had a heart for God and he went for that. So he says, after he believed, he said, what hinders me then from being baptized? There's water. Man, I've come a long ways. And I've searched many years. Who knows how long this Ethiopian searched for God? You know, there's a lot of people that are searching for God, but sometimes don't make that choice or that decision because maybe they don't understand, or maybe they're not ready yet for whatever reason. I know when I wanted to be saved and they were given the invitation, my wife said, well, she knew I was lost. She wasn't. She was saved. And she says, you go up and get saved. And she said, I'll go up with you and join the church. Because she knew how shy I was. And so I'm hurting, man. I want God. I want Jesus. I know I'm going to hell. I even said, have you been praying for me? She said, no. I said, you want me to go to hell? I was scared, and I knew where I was going because God told me. And so she says, well, I'll go up with you. You go get saved. And you know what I told her? Next week. With all that fear and all that I was thinking and knowing that I'm going to hell, I'm going to burn in hellfire. I had the opportunity to make that choice to be saved, and yet I was wanting to put it off till next week. And that's what a lot of people do, for whatever reason. But the eunuch said, hey, here's some water, man. What hinders me from being baptized right now? And this is what Philip said, verse 37. Philip said, he said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. And you know, when he was baptizing him and he was coming out of the water, the Spirit took Philip to another place in Ethiopia and didn't see him anymore. But you know, he went home joyful and happy and all excited because he had received the Lord. He'd gone to worship and he wanted more because he was hungry for the Lord. And you know, the Lord met him. See, that's why I can't understand why there's really so many people that are lost and going to hell. Man, the Lord sent an angel to tell Philip. Now, I want you to notice that the angel was not allowed to share. See, that's a privilege. Oh, we only have it. An angel can't share Jesus with anybody. That's our privilege. And so the angel went and got Philip and said, hey, you need to go here. This is what you need to do. And that was as far as he could go. And see, we're directed a lot of times on that as well. Sometimes you don't even know why you say what you say. Talking to somebody and you'll mention something, and to them it has great meaning. It's like, wow, I never realized that. And you're like, huh, I don't know what I said, but it was good. But see, that's the Holy Spirit directing us. So why are people going to hell? Why so many? The Lord said the road is wide, it's broad, the gate is broad. And he said there's so many that are traveling on it. And the destination for that road is hell. So God doesn't make it hard for us. He makes it so easy for us to receive Jesus and to be saved. But see, I think the problem is really believing. A lot of people fail. I don't believe that. No, I don't believe it like that. That's not how I read it. There's always that doubt and that unbelief that a lot of people have. You know, it's kind of like we talked about last week a little bit about Mark in Mark 9. Remember when the father took his son to get the demon cast out of him? And he said to Jesus, well, Lord, if you can do anything, please help us. And Jesus came back and he says, wait a minute. It's not just on me. But he says, you've got a part in this too. He says, you've got to believe. You've got to deal with that unbelief. And that's when he said, Lord, I do believe because I'm here. But your disciples just failed to do anything. So I'm hoping now that you can. You ever pray for healing and wonder if God heard your prayer or if he's ever going to heal you? Do you ever notice how that doubt comes in? It's, well, maybe I just got to suffer with it. Then, of course, somebody come along and say, well, you must have sinned. There must be something wrong with you. God is just punishing you. I used to preach like that because that's what I was taught. But see, that's not God. It says, by the stripes of Jesus, we were healed. He paid for all of that. If he can pay for our sins, he said, while we were yet sinners, he died for us. Paid the penalty. All we had to do is learn to believe and receive. And it can change our lives forever. But see, we've got to really learn how to believe this. You know, even the disciples came to Jesus after he healed this young man. And they said, Lord, why couldn't we? You see, Jesus had sent them out earlier, and they cast out demons. They healed the sick. See, they did, were doing everything Jesus was doing. And so Jesus sent them out, and that's what they were doing. So they had a lot of confidence. But why didn't it work this time? And Jesus said, because of your unbelief. Can you imagine they still had unbelief when they had seen it done before? And had done it before? But Jesus said, but this one too only comes out through much prayer and fasting. You see, we've got to learn to be prepared. You want to walk with God? You want to serve God? You want to be used by God? We've really got to prepare ourselves. Even for healings. I found out we got to prepare ourselves even for healing. Of course, there are always the miracles where people get healed and they didn't know anything about God and didn't care to know. And yet God in his mercy touched their lives. I just love the Lord how he is. It's not that we have to measure up and we have to do all of this and we've got to be on this road and we've got to. No, what we got to do is learn to believe and come to the Lord. And he touches our heart and our lives. And Jesus even told his disciples that if you can believe, he said, all things are possible to those who believe. You know, I can go to a third world country and I always see healings. Even when my daughter went to Dominican Republic, is that where her and her family went? I told her, it was Sherry. I said, Sherry, when you go there, pray for anyone that you see that is sick or hurting. You feel led by the Lord. You don't hesitate to pray for them. I said, I'm going to tell you this. They will be healed. And so she's used to the States. First time ever that she was out of country like that. Oh, well, yeah, I hear what you're saying, but. I said, Sherry, I'm telling you, you go with Jesus and you pray for these people. And I said, you'll see results. I said, their believing and receiving is so much different than in the United States. You know, when I came back from Honduras after God moving the way he did, he healed people, many, the whole church pretty well. They even have a whole testimony night. On a Friday night, I'd preach from Monday to Thursday, and then on Friday night, they wanted to give testimonies of what God did and how he touched their lives, and so they took the whole service over. That went for 2 or 3 hours. I came back to the United States, and the hardest thing was me is I came home to a spiritless, godless, carefree attitude, an uppity attitude. And I tell you what, it just crushed my spirit. It crushed me. It's like it took all the air, all the wind right out of me. There was an evangelist years ago that came to the United States, saved his money, man. His heart was, I want to go to America and preach Jesus. He got off the boat, went up on the dock, talked to a few people, turned around and got right back on the same boat and went back home. And this is what he said. This is a godless nation. He said, I can't stand it. I'm going home. See, folks, that's the problem. You don't see much because people don't believe the same. We have so much doubt and unbelief. I want to be honest. Most people don't even need God. You can live without God. And they do. Folks, we've really got to get serious about who we are in Christ. It's so important for us to believe, to get rid of and deal with that unbelief. Now, have you ever asked this question? I do this. Have you ever wondered why God requires us to believe and to deal with our unbelief? Have you ever wondered that? I was kind of wondering, I was like, what's the big deal? Lord, you can do anything, anytime. Why is it that we have to deal so much with our believing and deal with that unbelief that we have? It's like, do we have to measure up to something? So why is it so important and necessary for us to be believing without doubt? So doubting and our believing is significant to the Lord because it reflects trust, faith in his promises and his character. The scriptures emphasize the importance of faith, and it does that numerous times, all the way through. So why is it so important to believe and not doubt? Let's look at James chapter 1, verses 6 through 7. I'll read that to you. The Lord says this. That's James 1, 6 through 7. It says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Folks, when we don't have our total trust, our faith, belief, and understanding in God and his word, there's so many things that we're just blown away with. You hear so many different preachers or even others in Bible studies and different things that can be weird. And so everybody's thinking different. You talk to somebody and it's like, well, I don't believe your way. Well, how do you believe then? And they'll have their own understanding or interpretation of what they believe. And it's like, I want to say to them, how's it working for you? How's it working for you? Are you seeing results? Are lives changed when you preach to them and you talk to them? When you pray for their healing? See, the proof is in the pudding, right? I know there's always the case where people need to learn to receive. Sometimes that's hard for people to receive. They may not think that they're worthy or they're good enough or that God even loves them. So there's maybe some things you got to share with them to give them hope and a direction. But folks, there's so much that the wind blows and you're like a wave. You're moving over there and you're moving over here. And so the Lord says, man, we've got to change. We can't let the wind blow us. Folks, we got to get into the Word and know what the Word says and what it means so that we can be healed, that we can be touched. And it says, for let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Could that be why we're not receiving a lot of things? When we doubt, it can hinder our connection with God and our ability to receive from Him. You see, faith is a vital element in our relationship with God. And that's demonstrated in Hebrews 11:6, where it says this, but without faith, it's impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Kind of like the Ethiopian eunuch going all the way to Jerusalem just to worship. Just to worship. And then he gets a hold of some scripture. And as he's going home, he's reading it. But he doesn't understand it. I can remember when I was first saved, I had a King James Bible, not a New King James, but I had the New King James. And I would read that and I'm like, who can understand that? It was like another language to me. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Y'all sitting there looking at me and it's like, I don't even know if you're hearing me. Is it all going over your head? But I don't know anything. And I cried out to her. I said, God, I want to know your word. I'm hungry for your word. I remember I was a farmer, man. I was out working ground in my tractor and I had my Bible. And I'd be trying to read it in between the turns and stuff. I don't know what it means, but yet I'm reading it, hoping that I'll get something out of it, a little something somewhere, and I did. Sometimes I would stop, you'd see my tractor sitting in the field for a half hour, not even moving, because I'm in a good port. I'm kind of understanding. I think I am anyway. And so I just stop the tractor, just sits in the field and idles. I'm out there reading. I should have been done with that one field probably an hour and a half before, and I'm only halfway done. But I was hungry. I know what the Ethiopian was doing when he was going back. He was reading. God, I want to know. I want to know what you say. I know what other people say, but I want to know what you say. Can only stand on what God says. And I hold God true to His word. When I pray for something that doesn't seem like it's working, I'll say, God, you said, and I might even read the scripture to Him, God, you said. And I know that you're not a man that you can lie. So what you say is truth. And so, Lord, I'm expecting your word to work. I like when the angel went to Mary. Remember when the angel went to Mary? And he says, you're going to have a son. He's going to be the Savior of the world. Mary said, how can that be? I'm not engaged. I'm not married. And I don't know any men like that. So in other words, it was basically, I just don't understand how this is going to be. And the angel said, and the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And he said, you will then conceive. Do you know what she said? She wasn't like John's dad. Remember John's dad? How can this be? We're both old. There's no way. The angel said, okay. You want to be dumb? We'll make you dumb. You're not going to speak until after this is done, till after your son John is born. But Mary said this, And I wish we could get this, folks. We have a need and we pray. And we're asking God to touch our lives or to deal with a family member or whatever the case might be. Instead of doubting, failing to believe at times because it may seem too hard, even for God. Be like Mary and says, be it unto me. Be it unto me as your word says. She didn't say, be it unto me if it be your will. You notice that? Read it. She wasn't asking if it be your will. Folks, I'm going to tell you everything in the Bible, he tells you whether what his will is. Right? Why are we trying to figure, well, Lord can heal you if it's his will. Where does it say it's not his will? But see, we get so religious. Oh, Lord, change this. Do this. Touch my grandson. Touch my daughter, if it be your will. Folks, it's already God's will. You know what his will is. And that's why I like Mary. She says, be it unto me as your word says. No more, if it be your will. Folks, I think this is really important. Lord wants to do his word. That's why he wrote it. This really is our contract. It's our contract. He spells it all out, what he wants, what he requires, what he's willing to do and give us. And we always pray, well, Lord, if it be your will. Well, if you don't know what his will is, why are you praying? Folks, I want to know what God's will is, and I'm praying it. God wants us healed by his stripes, by the stripes of Jesus. He could have just went to the cross without going to be beaten. Did y'all know that? Did you know that your healing, see, back in Jesus' day, they believed in healing. They seen it all the time. Raising of the dead, they seen it all. But they couldn't receive the salvation because they thought that was by law. And we had to live up and measure up in order to have that. But nowadays, since we're so mature and such a knowledgeable nation, see, we believe in salvation, but we don't believe in healing. Do you notice that? Most of us don't even believe in, really in the Holy Spirit and in his work and his position in the church and in our lives. Folks, we're messed up. Just like they were messed up. They were just the opposite of us. Is any of this making sense to anybody? Or is the Lord just speaking to me? Praise the Lord. Folks, this is so important. We want to touch lives. We need our lives touched. We need to be changed, but we got to learn to believe and receive and to know what God wants and then pray it, believe it, walk it, and God will do it. In fact, we always pray for healing, and according to the word, it's already done. Because it says, by his stripes, you were healed. Isn't that past tense? It doesn't say you will be. It says you were. Why are we sicker than the world? Are as sick. Because I think there's some things we don't understand. So I guess what I need to say is we just kind of need to get serious about the word. God, I want to know your word. Man, I sat in that tractor, and you know what the Lord did with that, and I didn't understand? At work, there was a backslidden Baptist preacher. You know, they know the word. Some of it they don't believe. But he was very knowledgeable. His name was Al Beacham. And so I talked with him, and I said, Al, I'd have my little New Testament, always carried it, always carried my New Testament with me. And I'd pull it out, and I'd say, Al, I was reading this today. What does that mean? And Al would look at, oh, well, that means this, 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 and this. And I said, Al, you must be the smartest man in the world that you can understand this. And you know what else? God, you know, I kind of feel like Philip being sent almost to the Ethiopian, because Al Beacham was a backslidden preacher. he left the Lord, went away, just got fed up. And he told me this. He said, Jim, I had to get back into the word, back into prayer, to be ready for you when you came with all your questions. I'm like, thank you, Lord. Here you're teaching me, and now you've drawn him back to you. Folks, do you understand how God works? If you're hungry and you want more, God will feed you. He'll teach you. He'll send whoever he needs to help you. But folks, we got to be earnest. Man, when I walk, I want more. I want it. And I'm not going to settle for less. And God always, always gives me what I need and more than what I need. Jerry, if you're kind of feeling down or we're feeling down, folks, I'm going to tell you, you don't have to be there. All you need to do is open up and say, Lord, teach me. I want you. I want to be hungry again. Inspire me. Draw me. Teach me. Feed me, Lord. Whatever it takes. But see, you've got to have the heart. Like the Ethiopian, man, he had such a heart for God. You think the Lord just ignored him and let him go? No, he sent Philip to tell him exactly what he was reading so he could understand it. And when he understood it, he received it. And that day he was saved and baptized. And he went away excited and joyful. Folks, when God touches you, it's like nothing else. I melt at times in God's presence. But anyway, Father, I thank you for your word, and I ask that you would just bless your people. Father, as we hunger and thirst for you, may you bless us, feed us, and give us drink. Jesus, thank you. Holy Spirit, thank you for coming into our lives and leading us and teaching us and sharing the deep, special things of Jesus and of the Father to us. Lord, we thank you. Father, we glorify you. Give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read a blessing over us. And the Lord said to Moses, well, let's drop down to 24. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you peace. Amen. So be it. Now, Lloyd will be up here to pray, and maybe Lucy, if you need prayer, folks, don't shy away from prayer. I go to Lloyd every Sunday morning. I go to Lloyd, I sit down, and I have him pray over me. Folks, don't shy from prayer. God wants to bless you, and he'll do that as you surrender to him in prayer. And I think we're going downstairs for a dialogue, or cookies and coffee. It's a good time.